Welcome to another evening in the Michigan Writers Series. Tonight we're speaking with Mark Sheehan, the Michigan writer, poet, essayist, editor, who will be reading from his work later this evening. Mark Sheehan has been included in several recent anthologies and published a book of poems, Greatest Hits, with the New Issues Poetry Press in 1998. We are very happy to have you here this evening, Mark.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We'd like to talk to you about your writing a little bit before we actually hear it. I've gathered from my reading of your work that the art of language is important to you. How did language have come to have such a power over you?
I think one of my earliest memories of being conscious of language, sort of as language, was very young. Maybe I was about 4 or 5 years old. My mother was a first grade teacher, and I remember her working with me with a primer, and remember very specifically learning the word zebra and being very impressed with the zigzag shape of the capital Z and of zebra. And suddenly there was that light that came on that there's this correspondence between words and the things that they represent out there in the world.
What a lovely memory that captures that moment. Do you prefer poetry to essays? Is there a superior genre for you?
As a reader or a writer?
Well, I'm thinking of a writer right now. I'll ask the reader question later.
primarily as a writer, I write mostly poetry. That's the genre I've been most involved with since I began seriously writing when I was in my late teens. And That's the path that I followed the most. Starting as a young writer, as young writers will, I was drawn to that kind of poetry, which was the most extreme. I early on began reading the surrealist poets who were both in French and Spanish, people like André Breton, reading them in translation, and then moving from there to poets like Whitman, and then up to more current people like James Wright. And I think progressively as you read, I've always made the comparison with being someone who learns to appreciate wine. You often start with wines that are easy to appreciate in some kind of way, and then work into a little sweet, and then maybe learn to appreciate more textured wines. Not that a poet like André Breton isn't a world-class poet. He is. But as a young writer, I think you don't even appreciate all that a poet like a Breton has to offer, and you only kind of see the surface qualities.
Well, one of the reasons I ask was because you're an editor of the fourth genre. I have read an essay of yours that was beautifully written.
Thank you.
Talking a lot about poetry, and the subject was a poet. In fact, people seem to be a favorite topic of yours.
In many of the poems that got chosen for my book entitled Greatest Hits, many of the poems ended up being about people or often about relationships. There's a poem entitled First Marriage and another poem entitled Second Marriage, for instance. So that's a theme that suddenly was, I guess you'd say I discovered this theme was there, not really consciously when I was writing the poems as discrete individual poems. Then putting them together, I suddenly realized I had been writing about a couple of related things, this relationship between men and women and what it is to be a male in a society where the role of being a male has, I think, changed greatly since, say, the end of the Second World War.
you are, as I mentioned before, an editor of the fourth genre. How does being an editor affect your writing, or does it affect your writing? Are you affected by the way other people write, for instance?
I really enjoy being an editor for fourth genre. Just in passing, I might mention that fourth genre was one of the journals that the Utney Reader recently chose for one of their excellence awards.
That's, and I might add that it's published here at Michigan State University.
Yes, it is. Under the category of general excellence in writing, fourth genre was chosen as one of maybe about a dozen journals. And we're very proud of that, especially being a new journal.
Yes.
But being an editor has been a very interesting experience, both in the capacity of looking at the submitted work and selecting which work will go into the journal. And then for those essays which we may very much like but feel aren't completed yet, working with authors, making editorial suggestions.
Mm-hmm. So you do actually try to shape it sometimes if you find that there's value.
Yeah, and most of the writers are very good about accepting suggestions. Mm-hmm. Not every author will take every suggestion, nor do we necessarily expect them to.
Nor would you, probably.
That's right. I have found, which has been a very interesting experience, that my general feeling is that we like all of our writers in the fourth genre, and we think they're all good. That being said, those writers which are often the most accomplished are actually those which are most receptive. Mm-hmm. To editorial suggestions, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that writers who are confident in their own skills are feel the most confident in being able to be open to suggestions and mm-hmm. maybe rethinking a portion of their essay.
Mm-hmm. You are a Michigan native. This is
yes.
my Michigan question.
Okay. I'll try my best.
Okay. This is the Michigan Writers Series, and I always try to find out if there is something particular about Michigan, the place, that enters into your work or that you utilize as say, a muse, or is there anything about Michigan that you particularly...
Well, obviously Michigan is an extraordinarily unique geographical place. It is surrounded by the world's largest bodies of fresh water. There is something about that geographical awareness, I think, that gives you a sense of being in a special place on Earth. The other thing about Michigan, a couple of other things quickly. I'm biased, but I think Michigan has an extraordinarily rich poetic history to it. Theodore Rethke being
mm-hmm.
from Saginaw, one of the three or four, I think, great poets of the 20th century, being not only from Michigan, but having Michigan be such a part mm-hmm. of their work. Another unique voice before the current generation of writers was Julia Moore.
Oh, yes, the sweet singer of Michigan.
whose collected works the MSU Press published.
Oh, it did?
And it's wonderful. I mean, we forget that this was the character that Mark Twain based his famous woman who would write elegies and who died because they couldn't have come up with a rhyme before the deceased was buried, who was a unique... A very popular poet for the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Edgar Guest of the...
yes. And then moving forward, in the post-war period, just some terrific poets. John Woods, the poet who I write about in my essay in Peninsula. Jim Harrison, who is better known as a novelist. His last couple of books of poetry have been the best of his career in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And New Issues Press, who's published my book, is doing a lot to publish contemporary poets in Michigan. Jay mm-hmm. Featherstone, who lives here in East Lansing, just published a book called Braces Cove, which was a remarkable work. And there's just a lot of energy mm-hmm. in Michigan in the writing, in particularly in the poetry community right now.
I'm happy to hear that you're plugged into it and really feel a part of it.
Yeah, and it's terrific to see. I think for a long time before, particularly before New Issues Press came up, there's been kind of a void of regional publication for mm-hmm. Poets in Michigan. There is New Rivers Press in Minnesota, for instance, and they had a competition for several years for writers in the upper Midwest, which I thought oddly excluded Michigan. The MSU Press is now publishing more contemporary poetry than it has for a while. For many years, the University of Michigan Press has concentrated on publishing contemporary poetry criticism mm-hmm. and wasn't doing contemporary poetry. So there's, I think, a pent-up backlog of some terrific writing, particularly on poetry in Michigan. Greg Rapley, who lives over in Grand Haven, where I live, just won the Brittingham Award from the University of Wisconsin. So there's some terrific poets writing in Michigan right now. Absolutely.
Great. Well, we have certainly been pulling in some wonderful writers in this series. I just feel so enriched over the experience. What are you working on right now?
I'm continuing to work on poetry. I'm putting the finishing touches on a second manuscript, which I think is pretty much there right now.
Oh, good. And what are the prospects, do you think?
Well, most of the poems have been published individually in journals. Getting a book published as an entire collection is, you never know the prospect for that. Right now, the working title for the manuscript is Hieroglyphics and Crayon. So if you ever see that title, you'll know that it found a home with some publisher.
Well, I certainly hope that you alert us when this happens.
I will. And I've also been working on spurred on by my editorial work with Fourth Genre, have been working with more prose than I have in the past, mm-hmm. Writing essays. Mm-hmm. I'm also, for many years, I did book reviews for a monthly publication here in Lansing called the Lansing Capital Times. And I'm beginning to do some book reviews for another monthly publication called On the Town in Grand Rapids.
General book reviews or reviews of poetry?
Actually, my first review for them happened to be an MSU Press book, Judith Mindy's Collected Poems.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so that was a real pleasure to do. It's a lovely book, beautifully designed book mm-hmm. by the MSU Press. And
yes.
Was happy to be able to get a little attention for it through the On the Town magazine.
That's wonderful.
That's now, Judith Mindy is a poet who, when I was talking about Michigan poets, overlooked somehow, and that's an oversight. I shouldn't make Judith Mindy as a terrific poet.
Yes, we know. We've had her here. She did a reading for it. It was really wonderful, and it's still available on the internet.
Dan Gerber, another Michigan poet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just I will apologize to all the Michigan poets who I didn't mention.
my next question with what are you working on is usually followed by who are you reading, but I think I'm hearing who you are reading.
In terms of poetry, I'm biased because he's a friend of mine, but mm-hmm. Joseph Featherstone, his mm-hmm. book, again, which is entitled Braces Cove from New Issues Press, is really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
He is a gentleman who hasn't published many of his poems in journals, so people might not know that name, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Is he affiliated with MSU?
He teaches in the education department.
Okay. Hmm.
And Jim Harrison's not most recent book, but his second most recent individual collection, which is entitled After Ikiyu. And the title sequence of poems after Ikiyu is really, really extraordinary. They're based in part on his sort of informal study and practice of Buddhism.
Oh.
And they're amazing. They're amazing poems. And just as a book, I mean, here's a man who's making most of his money through fiction and screenplays. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's now in his 60s, I believe. And it's quite remarkable that he's still writing poetry, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. And to be doing the best work of his career is mm-hmm. really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Do you read essays? Well, you must, with the fourth genre, you must be interested then in the fictional memoir.
Yeah. I'm trying to think right off the top of my head the most recent book, nonfiction book I've read.
Your own work, A Different Kind of Priest, is a, perhaps it's more a straight memoir, because yeah. this John Woods is an poet.
Yeah, that essay was an appreciation of mm-hmm. John Woods, the Michigan poet who was a teacher of mine mm-hmm. when I was an undergraduate at Western Michigan University in the mid-70s.
One of the images I liked out of that one was when you're collected in the top floor, a top room of a building, and looking at the Kalamazoo skyline. It was touching and amusing, and I could see it was really real for you.
It was, as I mentioned in the essay, if I had come from Manhattan,
that's right.
the Kalamazoo skyline at night wouldn't mean much. but having come from the small town of Caledonia, Michigan, it was really...
But there can be such loveliness in such a thing as a medium-sized town's lights at night.
Oh, absolutely, and that was a time in my life when... language seemed just vitally important. So we would have these meetings of class up on the 10th floor of Sproul mm-hmm. Tower. Mm-hmm. And back in the mid-70s, I don't think you can do this anymore. Well, we would sneak the occasional bottle of wine up there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't think that you can do that anymore. That was back when the drinking age was 18. Yeah. And we would have a glass of wine or two and critique poetry and listen to John just talk about the poets. He was impressed by and informed by, as I mentioned in the essay, he was a poet whose first poetry reading that he went to hear was Dylan Thomas.
Yes.
So,
you felt a connection
yeah.
through John Woods. That's